Thanks for tuning into Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
Well, September to remember, the video that I shot in my car on Monday telling all of our campuses what I was going to be preaching this weekend, there was a line in there that I wanted you to write down if you wouldn't mind. And there's a penalty you pay when you disobey. There's a penalty you pay when you disobey. Everybody shout it with me. There's a penalty you pay. Anybody ever got a ticket? Come on, raise your hand if you ever got a ticket. Anybody ever got a speeding ticket? I want to see who I'm talking about here. Anybody ever got a parking ticket? Come on, somebody. Any of you people have never got a ticket? I want to see who have never gotten a ticket. There's like a 12-year-old kid like, I ain't never got no ticket. You ain't never been driving either. But there is a penalty we pay. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today, but the main thing we're going to talk about is remembering that the curve of change is when we really have to pay attention to the signs. There's signs everywhere. Signs of the time, end time signs. You got stop signs, yield signs, all kinds of signs that happen. This is a slow down sign, right? So I know all campuses will love this. Let's play a game real quick because I don't know all these signs, but I wanted to put on the screen real quick just some signs, and all y'all can just yell at all campuses what they are. Here's one. Come on, somebody help me. Yell, all campuses, what are these? Come on, help me. Help me, help me. Come on. Come on. Whoop, whoop. Whoa. I don't know what that is. I sure don't know what that is. I know what that one is. Come on, give it up for everybody being so smart, knowing the signs. Know your sign. Look at your neighbor if you're a redneck. Say, here's your sign, okay? Here's your sign. So we have signs on the way that God tells us. There's signs in the Bible, but there's also physiological signs that we have in our body to where God starts saying, hey, there's loose gravel ahead. We need to be very careful because if we're not cautious, we actually cause trouble and disobedience on ourselves. I have a sermon that's probably on YouTube. If you go search it, it's basically a red light and yellow light and green. And we said that green means go, yellow means whoa, and red means no. Okay, so let's all shout that. Green means go, yellow means whoa. Look at your neighbor and say no means no. But if you're attracted to him, say, but I could be talked into it. Come on, somebody. Okay. All right. So we got to look at tribulation that we bring on ourselves. So there's a dashboard in your heart. The Holy Spirit's in your heart, and he's leading you and guiding you with peace. There's also the physical stuff where God's saying, hey, you're going to cause yourself trouble if you don't listen to what your body's telling you. So green means go. I was on the Autobahn one time and driving like crazy and having a great time, but I didn't realize there's even signs on the Autobahn in certain areas that say, hey, it's a good idea to slow down. Slow down. Sometimes we're running too fast, too hard, and the Holy Spirit's telling us, listen, you're going to cause tribulation, you're going to cause peril in your own life if you don't listen to the warning signs on the inside of you, because there's times when it's okay to go really, really fast, but then there's seasons where you need to just slow down a little bit. You're working too hard. I'm talking about students you're playing a lot of sports and you're doing a lot of exams. I'm talking about adults that you're not 20 anymore. Anybody like me and you're 50 or older, raise your hand if you're 50 or older. Then you know there's stuff that hurts that you didn't even know that you had, right? You get hurt at 20, you pop back by the next day. You get hurt at 50, you're like, oh, I'm not going to work out for 6 months, right? Because these are signs that happen that cause tribulation. Now, I love this verse in John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the world you will have tribulation. How many of y'all live in this world? Raise your hand if you live in this world. Over half of you. We're living in this world, but we're actually from another world and another planet because our God, the creator of heaven and the earth, he made us and he knows exactly the signs that he put in us, signs to slow us down. So we will have peace because it's hard to have peace when you're working 7 days a week, pedal to the metal, and then you're just aggravated. Anybody in here ever just been like, you were just one, you're like, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. Raise your hand. Anybody ever said this? You're on my last nerve. Raise your hand. How many of y'all, your mama used to say that to you? Come on. You're on my last nerve. I don't know how she knew it was a last nerve, but y'all knew. And then she'd say, I'm going to knock you into kingdom come, right? I always wonder, how far is kingdom come and how hard she got to hit me to knock me there? But these are things that happen in life that we cause ourselves tribulation when we disobey and we continue to not say, wait a minute, I need to slow down. Now, we also need to know that slowing down is not just God saying, slow down. Your body will tell you that. Anybody ever thought you just needed rest, right? My dad used to yell because people would sleep during a sermon. He'd be like, I'm going to go wake that guy up. I always tell people, if you're sleeping during my sermon, that's awesome. You need to rest. Let people sleep, okay? So if you need a rest, you just take a sleep. But it's really hard to do it because I yell a lot, right? But your body tells you, hey, listen, it's a time to slow down. Just this last week when Nicole and I, she had been in L.A. working, and then I'd been in St. Louis preaching, as you know. Come on, give it up for St. Louis one more time. St. Louis, give it up for yourself. And we met in Birmingham, Alabama. Sweet home, Alabama, right? We met there. Now, that night when I got with her, I was still keyed up. I still got stuff to do because I'm a workaholic, right? Nicole's an alcoholic, but I'm a workaholic. Come on, somebody. No, she's not. I'm just kidding. So now, I'm in trouble now, guys. And so I decided in here, now my body said, keep working, stuff you need to do, a lot of meetings we needed to go over, notes we need to have. But sometimes we need to say, wait a minute, it's not about the church. It's not about we work together. Now we need to be married. Anybody know what it's like to work together with somebody? Raise your hand. Y'all don't worry. How many of y'all just know what it's like to work? Let's try that again. You know what it's like to work. Some people are like, don't use four-letter words in church. Okay. So we start in here. I heard in my spirit, not by the Lord's voice, just my spirit, good judgment, I don't know, to go around the corner, and there's a little grocery store, and buy her a dozen roses. Now, I could have went to 7-Eleven and just bought one rose, but how many of y'all know they smell like cigarettes no matter what? So I went, I bought her the roses. Then while I was walking down the aisle, I saw two little round bath bomb things. Now, I'm a guy, and I don't like to take a bath. Come on, guys, if you don't like to take a bath, raise your hand. How many of y'all guys like to take a shower, right? But I thought, oh, wait, I'm going to score more points with this, right? Ding, 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 ding. So I come back to the hotel, and I have the flowers, I have the bath bomb, and I've got food, and she just was like, oh, I love you. See, what's happening is I'm trying to tell you why you got marital problems. Come on, guys, you need to take a bath, right? The Holy Spirit's telling me, slow down, spend some time with your wife. Spend some time loving your wife. Spend time opening the doors. All the women ought to say amen. Spend time massaging your wife's feet. Can I get amen from the women in here? St. Louis, I know if you're anything like Florida right now, people are looking at me like, you better use the security to get to your car, Whitey. I'm going to stab you. But we wonder why we have marital problems, why we have tribulation in our marriage. You don't think you need that other person until they're gone. I'm saying listen to the warning signs. Take time to slow down. Be with your children. Somebody ought to shout amen. Not just on your phone. Be present when you're present. Can I get an amen up in here today? Listen to those signs because you don't want the no sign, right? And I'll just tell you right now that once you do these things, you won't get a no sign. You'll get a go sign. Can I come in and know what I'm talking about right now? I'm talking about you going to break out your mixtape. Can I get an amen? Some of you are like, I ain't had a mixtape since 1982. That's why you look so depressed. Come on, somebody. Somebody break out the, I'll make love to you like you want me to. Help me. Then I'll hold you tight, baby. You guys don't know the Bible, but you know that song. Goodness gracious. Okay, so the reason why we crash and burn is that we do not pay attention to the signs. Your body's telling you, slow down. Lose weight. Forget that one. Walk. Do you ever hear, drink more Diet Coke, drink more Diet Coke? How many of y'all know your body's saying, I need water. Pay attention to your sign. You might not like the sign, but the sign might save you from a crash and burn. Now, here's some signs from the end times. The Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 3, it says, these are the signs of the end of the age. Now, he said on the Mount of Olives, talking about Jesus, he's talking to his disciples, or I'd say at Faith Church, all campuses, saying, tell us what will be, what will things be like when you come back? What will be the sign? Everybody shout, what will be the sign? What will be the sign of your coming? What will be the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed, no one deceives you. Do you know a lot of you are deceived today at Sunset? Our city, Weldon? You're deceived because you think that you can work 7 days a week and it not cost you everything. You think that you can continue to not honor God and still have a good life. God modeled behavior. He worked 6 days and he modeled the Sabbath rest on the Sabbath. He created the whole world in 6 days. But on the Sabbath, for us, he modeled it because he knew that we would work ourselves to death. that we would say, well, if one's good, two's better. If one donut dollar's good, two's better. If one donut's good, two's better. If one wife's good, that's a bad idea. That's a whole other sermon right there. But I'm here to tell you today that the flesh is not satisfied and it'll work itself stupid. Now it says this, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many of you will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and they will deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. Are you seeing that now? See to it that you're not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and pestilence and earthquakes, and we could say tornadoes and hurricanes. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. They're birth pains, the Bible talks about. And they will deliver you up to tribulation. And then it says, verse 10, it says, then many will be offended, and they'll betray one another, and they'll hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many because of the lawlessness all around the world. And here's the key, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. I'm telling you, here's our sign today at all campuses. If you find yourself cold, if you find yourself not on fire for God, if you find yourself more worldly-minded than word-minded, you got to get a good old dip of Jesus again and come in and say, God, here I am to worship you today. Here I am to magnify you today. Come on, West Palm. Here I am to magnify the Lord. Earth City, Sunset, all campuses. I'm telling you, you can't come in number one putting yourself number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you want to maximize the banner year of 2020, if you want to absolutely not even recognize where you're at 12 months from now because it's blessing, favor, you think about Nicole's little book that she just printed. She wrote that at nighttime in bed when I was trying to tell her quit it. She would write, what to do, what to say to God when your husband's being a jerk. And I say to the world, you're welcome. All right, I brought that to you, right? But see, now the pain of her preaching that, the pain of her pouring it out, now is helping people from the outhouse to the White House, up and down the United States and around the world. Somebody ought to shout amen, because it's a banner year. It didn't take off like that before. Now it's sold out everywhere. You can't get it. Some of you ought to put yours on eBay right now and sell it, make some money. That's your banner year blessing, okay? But the Bible said kingdom would come against kingdom. There'd be great tribulations. But he said, hey, you need to make sure that you're doing a Sabbath rest. Now, the Jewish people believe and still do. If you go to Israel today, from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, that's the Sabbath. That means they're not going to do any work. They're not going to answer any emails. And they're not going to do any business. They have a 24-hour cycle where they Sabbath rest. Sabbath rest. Now, the Bible knows if you don't take a break, you break. The Sabbath rest is not just coming to church at all the campuses, and I can see you there. I have feeds on my phone. I see the campuses. I know that a lot of people left at the end of the service at the last one really early at Sunset Hills. They didn't do it at the other campus, and shame on you. God forbid anybody does that today. I pray to God you don't go to hell. Don't leave till we say amen. Okay? I didn't mean it. I might have. But for an hour and 15 minutes, you get 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And for an hour and 15 minutes, hour and 20 minutes, you can't honor God during this time. I'm here to tell you that you have honored God today, and you came here, but it's not enough just an hour and 15. You have to, and I'm going to give you notes in a minute. I want you to write it down. I'm going to give you some keys and principles that you can actually apply to your life today that are going to make the stuff that you learn on Sunday work for you on Monday. But see, we're all trying to fit it in, and there's no rest, there's no recovery, there's no soul rest. We think our foot ought to be in everything. You can't do everything. You'll try to impress everybody by being the best mom, trying to impress everybody by being at all the games for your kids, and it's great. But if your kids don't go to church and they don't honor God and they wind up living a life emaciated in sin, I'm telling you, we don't win. I'm telling you, the greatest winners are the ones that put God first. Come on, I'll give you 10 seconds to praise Him. Come on, all campuses. He's good. Look at your neighbor and say, man, I like his preaching. Come on, tell him that. I love it when you guys just bless me with unsolicited love like that. It makes me feel good as a pastor. Okay, now, it says this. It says, verse 13, about keeping the Sabbath. It says, if you turn your foot from the unnecessary travel on the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day. Notice he calls it his holy day. A call to a Sabbath, the spiritual delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and honor it, not going your own way, or engaging in your own pleasure, or speaking your own idle words. Then you will take pleasure in the Lord. And I, the Lord, will make you right upon the high places of the earth. I, the Lord, will make you right upon the high places of the earth. Are you tired of riding the lowlands? Are you trying to be down in the, tired of being down in the dumps and the dust and the worms and feel like, man, that life's just low? You want to come up to the highlands. So you got to say, this is my Sabbath rest. If you don't take a break once a week to recalibrate yourself, to honor God, then no wonder your life is turning out messed up. No wonder the divorce rate in the church is the same as the world, because we do everything they do. Now, we're not against people in the world, but we are against ourselves being in the world, having information with no revelation, so then our life turns out just like them. Listen, Faith Church, we are different from even regular church people. We are on fire. We're in a jubilee. We're in a revival. I was just seeing, I posted on my Instagram in the back room, Brogan out at Weldon today, he's sending me worship, and you guys were up on the front rows of the worship, not just sitting in your chairs. You guys went up to the front, and you raised your hands, and you lifted it at all campuses. I'm telling you, there's a difference between a regular church and a fired Holy Ghost filled church saying, this is our banner year. Somebody ought to shout amen. This is our jubilee. God's going to work all things together for my good. My book's taking its second wind. My life's taking its second wind. My marriage is about to recover. My mind is about to be set free. Somebody ought to shout amen today. I'm telling you that God is large and in charge, and if you honor him, he'll honor you. If you dishonor him, he'll dishonor you. Come on, give him praise in the house of God today. Right up on the high places. Look at your neighbor and say, let's get high together. Come on, tell them. You got to find out what you like to do. I think there's some footage of a GoPro with me and Nicole on a motorcycle. I personally like motorcycles. I don't recommend it for you, but I've done it my whole life. I grew up on motorcycles, and just a few days ago for my birthday, Nicole took me out here to Colorado. Colorado, high Colorado, right? And there I am. I'm refueling. There's my buddy, Ricky. Ricky's given me, he owns one of the largest motorcycle dealerships in the country, and he had just given me that motorcycle, and he's given me quite a few, and I just enjoy my life because I refuel. Now, Nicole doesn't like that, but she likes me when I'm full, right? And if I get full and I'm happy, she gets to take a bath. Come on, somebody ought to help me. Right? But I ride upon the high places of the earth because I kind of figured out one of the ways that I recharge. Now, I work hard, and I love to work hard, but I give myself once a week a Sabbath rest. Now, for me and my team and our staff, it's not on Sunday. Sunday's the day we work. But on Friday, we all take the day off, and we try not to respond to emails and try not to do anything that's emotionally draining. It doesn't always happen. That's why we've been trying to do the girls' events that we've been doing here and in St. Louis on Thursday nights, because it allows the team to actually rest. But ministry and life can be hard on you if you don't follow the signs and say, one day out of the week, it's not enough to just go to church. I've got to say, I'm going to recalibrate, and I'm going to make sure that my mind, my will, and my emotions are actually honoring God, ceasing from doing my own thing. Everybody shout, that's good, preacher. Jeremiah 6:16, it says, thus saith the Lord, stand by the roads and look. Ask for eternal paths. Do you know that what you're doing right now has eternal differences? You think, well, I'm just making money. No, no, no. You're making eternal. Hopefully you're a tither and a giver, because you're making an eternal impact. The life that you have here on earth is very short in comparison to the life that you're going to have forever. It says, where's God? Where's the old ways? Walk in them and you will find rest for your souls. Notice you got to look for it. Find rest. Matthew 11:28 kind of correlates that. It says, come unto me, all you that labor. Anybody in all campuses, raise your hand if you work really hard. Raise your hand if you hardly work. Okay, I want to know who you are, okay? It says, come to me, you that are heavy laden, learn of me. Learn of me. Notice you got to learn this. And I will give you rest. Listen, when God gives you rest, it's supernatural. He says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. You have to look for it. Now, I want to give you some points here. You're watching my television on all campuses today. I want you to write these down. I'm going to prove that I'm a professional preacher, and I'm going to give you a lot of R's today. All right, here they are. Ready? I'm going to give you rest, recharge, refill, relax, recline, reflect, and rejoice. I'm going to say them slow. Rest. Everybody shout it real slow and strong. Rest. Rest. Then you got to recharge. Anybody ever had your phone battery go dead and you had to go home because you're like, I wasn't even tired, but I got to go home because my battery's dead on my phone. So we got to recharge. Then we have to refuel. What refuels you? What podcasts are you listening to? What are you playing tennis? Are you crocheting? I don't know, scrapbooking. I don't know. You go to Whole Foods and steal food. I don't know what you do. But whatever recharges you, refills you, then just relax. Everybody shout, relax. And I wrote recline. Sometimes you feel bad reclining. Nicole's one of those people that feels so bad if she's not working. She feels bad.
I'm like, go get your nails did, okay? Get your nails did. Get a weave. You'll look unbelievable. You can scratch my back with your...
Come on, somebody ought to help me around. She says, I feel guilty. She got little nubs where she chewed them all off. And then she's like, oh, man, I got to get something done, right? And I say, no, Nicole, you need something to just recline and relax. And the next one is reflect. Everybody shout that with me, reflect. Reflect and see if the way you're doing is really working. Reflect and go, by me working 7 days a week, come on, Weldon, help me right now. If I work 7 days a week and I never really get to see my kids, but I got them a bigger house, I got them a better car. Now, I'm sure they'd love to have a bigger car, and I'm sure they'd love to have a bigger house, but you know what kids really want? Ashton today, she's out at Weldon. And today, when I was going to the gym, she called me. She talked for 10 minutes. Then we got on the elevator, and she lost me. And I thought, oh, that's good. I get to work out now. She called me right back. Hey, I lost you. I was in the elevator. And then she began to tell me about her night, about her day, what's going on. And I was working out, but I was enjoying listening to her. But you know, one of the reasons why she knew she could call her daddy is because she was a little low. She needed refill because her daddy hadn't been around for a few days. So I was refilling her. But when's the last time your kids called you? Well, they call their friend. They want nothing to do with me. Could it be that they're hurt? Could you need to spend a little more time? Can I get an amen in the church today? You got to not only look to reflect on your own life, but reflect, how are you treating other people? If you don't reflect, the next one, the last one is rejoice. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You'll have no joy if you don't reflect and go, man, I'm working like crazy, but I'm not going to church. And the enemy of your soul will tell you, oh man, I'll go to the one service, but I'm not working one, worshiping one. I'm not doing that. I just got what I need. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. No, we understand at this church that we work one and we worship one. Say, for instance, today at Ferguson. Maybe you worked at the first one at Ferguson, but you might want to leave for the second one. We want you to stay there because there's some people that might be in a bad situation. And when they come in, they don't just need to see a room full of people that don't know how to worship, a bunch of people like them. We're the church and we're the worship leaders, not just on the stage. We're in the pew. Somebody ought to shout amen. And we're worshiping God. Come on, give God praise today. That's what we work one, worship one. I don't want to do that. That would cost me something. That would influence me. That would affect me. After all, it's about me. When Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. It's the sweetest thing in the world, but giving your life away. I love that song. Give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. That sounds a lot better than I did it my way. I'm really great. I'm really great. You know, however that song goes. Basically, Elvis is singing, I'm really awesome and I'm really cool. I've traveled a lot of miles. I'm in love with me. But I'm going to die of a drug overdose because I'm not happy. Right? Okay. I know that's rough, but I'm just here to tell you that the king of rock and roll needed a dose from the king, and then he could do what he was called to do. Somebody ought to give God praise today. And I know you'll send me emails because you love Elvis, and I love Elvis. I wish he was still alive. He'd be 199 years old right now. We got to yield ourselves to saying, wait a minute, am I mocking God? Am I mocking God? What am I doing? I want us to go to Daniel chapter 5. We're going to see basically a bunch of people mock God. These kings, they get drunk. Well, let's just read it. It says, Belshazzar, the king, was the descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. And he was having a great feast with 1,000 nobles. And they were all drinking. And the wine was in the presence of 1,000 guests. And Belshazzar, after he got drunk, he commanded them to bring him the gold and the silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple. So this is holy. Everybody shout, it's holy. You don't want to mess with the holy stuff. Which was in Jerusalem. And so the kings and the nobles and the wives and the concubines all drank. And they brought in the gold and the silver vessels that had been taken out of the temple in the house of God, which was in Jerusalem. And the kings and the nobles and the wives and the concubines all drank from them. And check this out. They drank wine and praised the gods, plural, not God. They praise the gods. Some of y'all know we're in trouble right now. We're drinking holy communion out of a holy cup that came from God's holy temple. And now we're going to worship the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Six, denoting man, denoting the flesh. They're going to worship the God of gold, of silver, bronze, wood, stone. And they're saying, basically, I'm going to worship the effects of my own flesh, the works of my own flesh. And we can make fun of them all day long, but we kind of do that now, don't we? We say, I'm just going to watch online while I'm actually doing some of my work, and I'll allow PD to sit over here, and he'll preach on this computer while I'm working on this computer. Do you know how offensive that is to God? God wants all of you. And he said, listen, when the evil day approaches, do it all the more. He said, there'll be signs everywhere. And the signs of the times are all pointing to you and your house, coming to the house of God physically, lifting up your hands. Come on, somebody, in the presence of the Lord and worshiping him. Now, you might try to do it all in the flesh, but I'm telling you, it's the God of your flesh. And I love the next verse. It said, and suddenly the fingers of a man's hand appeared on the writing on the wall. Suddenly. You know that if you don't take a break and do what God says, you'll have a suddenly moment. Suddenly you find yourself divorced. Suddenly you find yourself emaciated. Suddenly you find yourself upside down financially. And that's where they found themselves. They said, we're going to do it our way. And then a finger started writing on the wall. How many of y'all hate it when that happens at a party? You're like, hey, this wine is really good, but is anybody seeing what I'm seeing? Hope to God that's from the Adams family right now. But it began to write on the concrete wall, and it wrote in their language, your days have been numbered, and you've been weighed in the balance, and you've been found wanting. Your days have been numbered. I'm here to tell you that we all have a limited number of days, and our days have been numbered, not just counted. You know, the Bible says he's numbered the hairs on your head. If he counted them, it'd be like he had counted them at one point. It says, no, it's numbered, meaning that he knows when one falls out. How many of y'all know in the shower, stuff falls out? He's got it numbered. He's numbered your days. And he said, I've numbered your days, Mr. Gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, stone. And they had a suddenly moment when the finger of God began to write on the wall. That's where we get the statement, the writing is on the wall. I'm talking to you by television right now. I'm talking to you at all campuses today that the writing is on the wall today with your kids, with the shootings that are happening in America's great stores, with people just in Steak and Shake, just eating and getting shot, and people at Walmart getting shot. I'm here to tell you that the devil is on the loose, and I'm begging you today to slow down, honor God, go to the house of God. A church alive is worth the drive. You can stay an hour and 15 minutes. You can surely go to Growth Track. Somebody ought to shout amen. Surely you can get in a small group. Whatever you do, honor God, because there can be a suddenly negative moment. There could be a suddenly positive moment. It's not in my notes, but I'm familiar and you're familiar, a lot of you, with Acts 2. It said, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven that rushed in like a mighty wind. And it filled the house, filled the church, filled Ferguson, filled Weldon, filled Sunset, filled West Palm. It filled the house where they were sitting. I'm telling you, we're having suddenly moments that I've felt today at all of our campuses. When I hear the reports of people's lives being changed, when I see the dream teamers who came early today and they said, I'm not here just to have church, I'm here to be the church. I want to brag on you for a minute. Thank you for serving. Thank you for going through Growth Track. Thank you for being in a small group. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. We need to honor God. We need to honor people of God. We need to bring honor back to rest, recovery, reclining, relaxing, rejoicing, or we'll have a suddenly assigned moment because our days are limited. We're going to die. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to die someday. I know you're like, I love that. I come to church and you tell me I'm going to die. Thank you very much. My daughter-in-law is here on the front row, and she always tells me Boudreaux jokes because she's from Louisiana. Come on, LSU all the way, right? With her, she bleeds it. Boudreaux and Thibodeau. So Thibodeau come up to Boudreaux and said, do you want to know how you're going to die? He said, no. He said, I don't want to know how I'm going to die. He said, I want to know where I'm going to die. He said, why you want to know where you're going to die? Because he said, I never want to go there. Come on, somebody. I never want to go there. Look at your neighbor and say, I never want to go there. I'm just telling you that you don't want to go down this path called I don't respect God. You don't want to go there. I don't want to bring my kids up knowing more about T-ball and the scores of great ball players than I do God. You never want to go there. I don't want to be so busy that I got to go to marital counseling because I didn't take the counsel of the Holy Spirit to take a bath with my wife. You don't want to go there. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't want to go there. Come on, some of you look so conservative. You're like, you never want to go there. And just let the English go for a minute and look at your neighbor kind of crazy. It'll be good for you. Say, you never want to go there. All right. Now, as I wrap this up, I want to give you a few notes that I wrote down, and I want you to write them down, okay? Because the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, I have a question to ask you at all campuses. How many of y'all raise your hand and say, I know sometimes what to do, but I just don't do it? That would be me. Raise your hand. Bunch of liars here in West Palm. Hope to God you're honest everywhere else. Let's try that one more time. How many of y'all knew better, but you did it anyway? That's why small groups are so important. Because when you're in a small group leader can tell you, I remember when I went down that path, and you don't want to do that. You think you're getting ahead, but you're not. It's good to have friends that are younger than you and older than you. Young people will tell you, don't wear socks up to here with shorts to here. You get a tan line at Disneyland, and you look ridiculous in your Velcro shoes. Come on, somebody. That's what young people have. If that offended you, you needed to be offended right now. And then older people will say, hey, girl, you look really hot and sexy in 9-inch heels walking through Six Flags, but you don't need to do all that. Come on, ladies. You understand what I'm saying? There's a balance in between. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a balance in between. So we need to make sure our small groups, that's why you got to be in a group. If you're not in a group, you're doing life alone. Weldon, I talked to a group there the other night. I was at Weldon Spring Campus, and there was a whole group meeting when me and Nicole went in the lobby of Weldon, and they were all in a small group. Last Sunday, I went to Ferguson Florissant. Church had been over for a couple hours, and there's a small group of about 20 people start walking out of the church. They looked like a rock video. I'm like, look at that. And then they were eating popcorn and having a good time. I'll tell you, small groups are the answer to your freedom. You're only as free as you can be when other people can see into your life. Intimacy is into me see. Who are you sharing your life with? If you've never went to Growth Track, it today we've redesigned it. If Growth Track was like this iPad right now, it would be what we look at every week and go, how's it working? How do we design it best for the people? How can we reduce it? How can we refine it? And we just came up with a new one this weekend to where we got all 4 weeks condensed into a faster point of enlightenment with giving you all the resources only better improved. And you can say, well, next week I'm going to do that. I'm telling you, next week I want to talk to you about being on the summit, and I'm going to preach at all campuses next week about the summit and what you can see from the mountaintop. It's going to be phenomenal, but I don't want to be talking to you about this when we've already told you, you need to go through Growth Track. It doesn't take long, but it'll change the whole trajectory of your life. And before we go, I want to go over some points that I want you to write down. Here's just some talking points. Here's one. We focus on what matters most. Focus on what matters most. So I don't know what that is for you, but so what matters most in my life right now is what? I love being on all campuses, but the travel all the time and being away from my wife was taking a toll on us and our life, and everything was fine, but I could hear the Holy Spirit say, hey, listen. And he told me, and you know this on all campuses, he said, listen, you be led on what church to preach and when to preach and where to preach, because your presence is not needed, but my presence is needed. And if you don't get a hold of that, your presence won't be needed because you won't be alive. Does that make sense? So I got to listen to the signs. So focus on what matters most. Okay, listen to this one. You don't need to do every activity that you're doing. You don't need to do every activity that you're doing. You need to write this down. You need to ask yourself, do I really need to do that? I've never had somebody, when I was standing over their gravesite, and you could ask Pastor Omar this, Pastor Morgan, or Pastor Phil, any of your campus pastors, you could ask him, have you ever been standing next to the wife of a dead husband and her say, I really wish he would have worked harder. I wish I would have worked harder. No, what they always say is they start saying stuff like, if I had one more sunset. And it just rips your heart out when they play that song. One more sunset, baby, I'll be satisfied. The song goes, one more day, one more time. One more sunset, baby, I'd be satisfied. They play that at funerals a lot of times, and I'm crying my eyes out going, man, get it. And I'm saying today, you need to get it. Okay? Now, listen here. Here's another one. Truth is, you only have a limited amount of time and energy to do what you're doing. Here's another one. Reduce what you focus on and do only a few things. Years ago at our ministry, the Lord spoke to me and said, and some of you know this from the preaching, I said, define, redefine, and do a few things well. Here's another one. Evaluate relationships because relationships matter. Iron sharpens iron. At all campuses, you need to evaluate relationships and realize I need to be in a small group because relationships matter. Yeah. The next one is me and Nicole matter. This week when we were in the bathtub together, I know it's a lot, but it's the later shows, so we can go with this together. I felt led of the Holy Spirit to do the bath bomb, go with her, get the flowers, and take a bath. I don't want to take a bath. We took a bath. Now we're kind of bored in the bathtub. She gets the DM that says that her book just blew up. She shot up out of the bathtub and gave me a show. Come on, somebody. Look what God has done! I know it's a lot for you to take, but it's just real. You say, why would you say that? I want you to know that we're regular people. I'm attracted to my wife. I want to be with my wife. I only want to be with my wife. Come on, somebody. Anybody else who wants to come up and hug me. You can smell me. But I'm tired. I've been with my wife. Somebody ought to shout amen. And you ought to want that. I said it. I'll say it again. So by spending time together with her, we don't need marital counseling. I'm so in love with her. I wake up. She wakes up. She texts me every morning. Hi, I'm working out. Hi, she's right there. Hey, what's up? I want to be with her. She wants to be with me. I don't not like her. I don't not like my kids. All their names are tattooed on my arms. I'm just saying, follow me as I follow Christ. I don't have it all together, but I'm telling you, relationships matter. Small groups matter. Maximize the benefit of the banner year. What I'm giving you right now is supernatural code. If you do what I tell you in this code, you will unlock. Somebody ought to shout amen. You will unlock the greater blessing upon your life like you've never experienced before. This is your jubilee. Growth track matters. I know I've said it a lot, but I want you to know it matters. It really matters. Someday you're going to go to heaven. And you got to reduce the non-essentials out of your life and say what really matters. As I close, I want to talk to you about this right now. This represents your life. This represents your email, your text, your Netflix, your bachelor, your stories. Come on, somebody. Anybody say amen to this right now? It's definitely quiet in Florida if you're wondering. The audience is still here, guys, but just really quiet. So all of a sudden, we start trying to put in God and church. I'm going to fit that in there. Tithing and doing what God wants me to do and obeying the Lord and reading the Bible there. And then all of a sudden, now it doesn't fit. We can't fit it all in here because we haven't prioritized properly. Same size everything. If we say, okay, we're going to honor God. Let's put it out here first. We're going to honor God first, and we're going to church no matter what. I'm going to tithe and give and prioritize God and show my family that that really matters and that they matter. I'm going to read my Bible, be in a small group, go into Growth Track because that really matters. And now my email and my Netflix, I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying prioritize what goes in first. And if you prioritize what goes in first, look at there. What a miracle. It all fits because there are priorities. Priorities is God. Priorities is listening to God in your family. And if you get all this in here, it works. Nobody else gets, you know, like 8 days a week or 28 hours a day. We all get the same amount of time. Will it fit in there? And my question to you as we close is, are you honoring God? Are you honoring Him with your time, your talent, your treasure? Are you tithing? Come on, Weldon. Come on, our city. Come on, Ferguson. Are you seeking God? Are you saying, well, I'll just try to fit Him in when I can? Because the rest of your life will be the best of your life, and you can fit it all in this container called life if you do it God's way. He built you. He created you. And I want to prophesy over you that your best days and your blessed days are out ahead of you, that no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment will be cut off to show the wrong. And if you will follow the signs that the Holy Spirit is dropping like bombs at our church right now, we're not praying for revival, y'all. We're in the middle of a revival. The youth is in revival. The students are on revival. The young adults. Everybody, it's revival season. I want you to stretch your hands toward me right where you sit right now at all campuses. And I want you to allow me to pray this prayer with you. I want to bless you right now. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that's watching right now through this screen as we are live from West Palm Beach, Florida, streaming into these campuses. God, there's no distance in prayer on this fourth Sunday. I know, God, that this word was an impactful word that touched them, that helped them, that delivered them, and set them free. God, help us to prioritize what you want us to prioritize in our life. Help us to not minimize the importance of honoring God in everything that we do. God, help this, our church family at all campuses, realize that today's the day that when they walk out the door, they need to go through Growth Track. Because if they don't start making modifications and behavior changes and learning more about their behavior and their personalities, all the stuff that Nicole and I teach in these classes, if they don't get that, they just find themselves spinning around the mountain one more time. And God, I pray for every person that's under the influence of pressure, anxiety, panic attacks, that today will be the day that they will get this word, they will hear it over and over again, and they will apply it. And they will say, God, I surrender my life to you today. I surrender you my thoughts. I surrender my calendar to you. And God, I prioritize the big rocks first. And God, as they do that today, they'll leave blessed, healed, refreshed, strengthened, invigorated, with new power from on high. Doors of opportunity that they never thought would open would fling open on Monday. And God, next Sunday, we'll be celebrating once again the houses that you brought in, that their credit wouldn't work, but they have to give you credit now. They didn't have the money, but God, you made it manageable. And God, I thank you that every debt is relinquished and removed. Every prisoner is set free and all property is going back to its original owner. God, I thank you that our days are numbered, and God, we're seeking you with all of our heart, all of our might. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you receive it today, shout amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Pray.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I'd like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.